At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The eyes of a nation are on Dallas tonight as the National Rifle Association starts its annual convention. More than 70,000 people are expected inside the K. Bailey Hutchison Convention Center. Tomorrow, we'll hear from President Donald Trump, his vice president, and the governor of Texas. Outside, protesters will gather to decry gun violence and push for what they call common sense gun reform. A group of teens from Dallas will witness all this weekend's drama. They're members of the Cry Havoc Theater Company, and KERA has been following them across the country as they research gun violence for a new play. In this week's Art and Seek Spotlight, Hadi Mawagi reports on the emotions this project has surfaced and how these kids have become members of the NRA.
Okay. So, a few things. You should all have now received from me your welcome email to the NRA.
It's Saturday morning, and Mara Richards Bim, the founder and artistic director of Cry Havoc, is going over logistics.
You know, and so we will come up with a script. Hi, you know, my name is Cara Lawson. I'm a senior in high school. I'm part of Cry Havoc Theater. We're creating a show about guns. Would you be willing to answer a few questions?
Some of the teens are excited about their NRA membership cards and baseball caps. But smiles fade and minds focus as Richards Bim continues.
And we will have a set of questions, and you can have your little cheat sheet. And we can ask hard questions, but we also need to understand we're not going to have somebody for a full hour. And so
this trip is a big deal because Cry Havoc's next play is about the gun debate. The script will be written from the interviews the teens conduct, and so far, it's been hard to get gun advocates to speak with them.
All I've heard about the NRA right now is how horrible they are, but I've also been getting this feeling that NRA is different entirely from the members of the NRA.
That's Jemiah Parker, a sophomore at Booker T. Washington. She's pretty neutral about guns. Her parents own them. But she, like many teens, wants to end gun violence.
Do we all have to be laying on the ground bleeding to death from a bullet before we be like, okay? Because I know that if I had a gun and like all these people were dying, I would just be like, do whatever you have to do.
Trinity Gordon's a senior at Skyline High School. She's on the debate team and often plays devil's advocate with the cast. And Gordon's pumped about going to the convention. She says she's going to buy a camouflage shirt.
So just being able to see NRA members in their, like, safe space and seeing how they interact with each other and how they interact with outsiders is going to be really interesting.
Honestly, most of the actors are stoked. They've interviewed dozens of people since January. Politicians, felons, police officers, even a trauma surgeon. And they've met with families of murder victims. They also traveled to Washington, D.C. and Sandy Hook Elementary. And here in Dallas, they visited a gun range to shoot automatic weapons. These teenage documentarians strive to be impartial, but they carry their own experiences. One actor's friend killed herself with a gun. Another knows a family whose toddler died playing with a gun. When Fabian Rodriguez was 3, his father was shot in the head and killed. And the senior at Siegelville High School says some of his classmates have been killed too.
It happened a lot. And I guess adults, they don't really hear those stories. They hear the mass shootings, but they don't hear the ones that the little shootings that still have a big impact on everybody.
Once again, Trinity Gordon.
Recently, a classmate of ours died because he was shot watching someone play dice. So it's just things that happen.
Her classmate was killed in an apartment complex across the street from Skyline High School in April. Sheldrick Pearl is also a senior at Skyline. He says he's become numb to the shootings in his Pleasant Grove neighborhood.
You know, you just have to accept the fact that maybe one day that might be the day that you get shot. You try not to think such in negative ways, but it's out there. It's going to happen. You just pray that it's not you or someone you know and love.
Pearl says he's not anti-gun. He's simply in favor of stopping gun violence.
People shouldn't be losing their lives. Just like you have a right to have your gun, you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know.
The next 72 hours are going to be wild. The president's coming, protesters and counter-protesters have planned rallies, and the national media is swarming in. But inside the convention center will be a group of kids simply looking for answers. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
Tomorrow morning, we'll have a special report, a Friday conversation with an insider from the gun rights movement and a student leader of the protests outside. That's tomorrow at 8:20 during Morning Edition. And an additional note, the NRA has provided financial support to KERA. A Dallas icon named Margaret McDermott died today at the age of 106. Plenty of North Texans know her as a name on a bridge, the twin arches that bracket Interstate 30 over the Trinity River. As KERA's Jerome Weeks reports, her legacy reaches so much wider than that.
If Margaret McDermott were an artist, her canvas would be the city of Dallas. Gail Thomas, the retired head of Trinity Trust, was a longtime friend.
Amazingly, she has in some way helped every nonprofit in this town.
If you've benefited from medical research at UT Southwestern, if you've seen performances at the Meyerson Symphony Center, the Winspear Opera House, or the Wiley Theater, if you've attended UT Dallas, SMU, Dallas County Community College, or St. Mark's School, even if you've just borrowed a book from the Dallas Public Library, then Margaret McDermott has touched your life. Daniel Podowski is president of UT Southwestern Medical Center.
Dallas, in all of the organizations that she's been a part of, have been so fortunate for her insight into what people need to thrive. You know, that is the unique contribution of Margaret McDermott.
McDermott was the largest single benefactor to the Dallas Museum of Art, donating more than 3,000 artworks. Yet few projects bear her name. They mostly honor her husband, Eugene McDermott, who co-founded Texas Instruments in 1951. Hobson Wildenthal believes McDermott's old-fashioned upbringing made her wary of publicity. Wildenthal is executive vice president of UT Dallas.
She abhors anything that would cast her in the limelight, because those of us who are Texas natives deeply resent the type of the bragging Texan.
McDermott grew up in Dallas during World War I, when SMU was a single building and trains still hauled cotton north out of town. Gail Thomas.
Her life has watched the increase of our city in the most profound way. From a little town with just barely more than dirt streets.
In a rare public speech, McDermott recalled being a wild child racing bicycles on those streets.
And the bicycle races ended with cuts, bruises, broken arm or two, until it was ended by the No Fun family and the Harlem Park Police.
After graduating from the University of Texas, McDermott looked for work as a journalist.
You were out of college. You wish you had a car. You wish you could see the world. Then the Dallas News and the Dallas Times Herald gave me a job. And that job opened the world.
She married Eugene McDermott in 1952. He established the McDermott Foundation 3 years later. After his death in 1973, Margaret led it. And today, their daughter, Mary McDermott Cook, heads the foundation. Gail Thomas says Margaret McDermott didn't always give a project's largest donation, but she often gave the first big one, the seed money, and she brought others in, inviting them to her house with its remarkable art collection.
The myriad events, dinners, meetings that have taken place in Margaret's living room are undocumented and untold, but she made so much possible.
UTD's Wildenthal believes the school may be McDermott's ultimate contribution. Eugene McDermott established it as an engineering college for Texas Instruments, but with Margaret's influence and the designs of landscape architect Peter Walker, it's been transformed into a handsome, innovative, still growing campus. In a 2000 interview with journalist Quinn Matthews, McDermott contemplated what she would leave as her legacy.
You do think, what is lasting? These buildings have a chance of lasting a long time, but more important, the music that played, the arts that are in them, the education, the great stage play, that's going to be lasting in people's memories for years to come.
Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Learn more about the life of Margaret McDermott at artseek.org. There's a 50% chance for rain later tonight with a low around 59. At 6:30, this is KERA News.